We do welcome each one to our service tonight, and we trust that you'll feel welcome with us, welcome those who are visiting, and we trust the Lord's blessing upon our time in worship. And we're going to commence by turning in our hymnals, the hymn number 28. I've got the wrong hymn. The psalm number one. The psalm number one. I was moving right into the baptismal service already and looking at the wrong order of service. But the psalm number one, that man hath perfect blessedness who walketh not astray in counsel of ungodly men or stands in sinner's way. The baptismal order of service is in the bulletin where the usual evening service is. That's my fault, but the psalm number one, great words, and it is a great psalm that reminds us of the blessed, the man who walks in the ways of God, the man who loves the word of God and delights in his law. And so we'll sing the words of this psalm, we'll stand and worship together, please. Be seated, and we're going to turn in the Word of God to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, and we'll take our reading from verse number 16. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, and commencing at verse 16. Then the eleven disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word to our hearts this evening. Let us unite together in prayer and let's seek the Lord. Our eternal God and our loving Father in heaven, we thank Thee this evening that we can focus ourselves upon Thee. And we can come aside, O God, from our daily activities to meet with Thee. We thank Thee that we can think upon the words of this psalm that we have sung together. And we think of the blessed man, the one who loves Thee and loves Thy word and delights in Thy word and desires to walk in Thy ways as opposed to the ways of the wicked. And Father, we pray that each one of us would have that desire to walk in Thy ways, to follow in Thy precepts, to love and delight in Thy law. And we pray that we would be like those trees that are planted by the rivers of water that will bring forth their fruit in due season. And tonight, O God, we cry to Thee that we would be fruitful believers, that we would be a fruitful congregation, and that we know that fruit that comes from Thee alone, fruit within our lives, a fruit within our service and labors for Thee. And Father, we thank Thee that we can think upon the Savior here giving that direction for His church, for His disciples to go into the world with a glorious gospel, to teach, to baptize. And we thank Thee for that encouraging reminder where the Savior says, "Lo, I am with you always." And we thank Thee tonight that the Savior is with us. We thank Thee that we can focus upon Him. We can rejoice in Him. We thank Thee for His presence with us. And as we preach Him tonight and preach His salvation, we pray that Thou would bless. Lord, we do remember those outside of Christ and outside the kingdom of God, with no anchor nor refuge for their souls. And we pray tonight that Thou would draw them to Thyself, Thou would save them and redeem them, that we would rejoice in the salvation of our God. Father, we do remember the needs we have as a congregation. We do think of the radio ministry and the need there as the gospel is preached across this area, but also across Canada. Bless the Reverend Gallagher as he undertakes in that work. And Lord, we pray that as we seek to minister for Thee, that Thou would bless and bless in the salvation of souls. Father, we do remember the baptismal service later on. We do remember Cole. We thank Thee for him. And we pray that as he is baptized and publicly professes his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Thou would bless him and encourage him, and that he would grow in Thy grace and grow in his Christian faith. We do remember his family as well. Bless them, and may they be encouraged and blessed by what will take place this evening. Father, may we as a congregation be encouraged, and may we rejoice in Thy salvation and in Thy goodness and grace towards us. Father, we look to Thee. We pray for Thy blessing to be upon this service and upon the service to follow. May we glorify Thee in all that is said and done. And we ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to turn again in our hymnals to the hymn 52. The hymn 52, "Crown Him with Many Crowns, the Lamb upon His Throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but His own." Hymn number 52, and we'll stand again as we sing, please. may be seated. At this point in our service, we do extend a warm word of welcome to each one who's present, those visiting with us. We especially welcome you, and to those watching online, we welcome you as well. And we trust the Lord's blessing to be upon us as we gather together. Do remember that after the service this evening, we are meeting downstairs around 7:20 for a baptismal service for our young brother Cole. And so we do encourage you to stay behind and to attend that service to encourage our brother. And afterwards, there will be a time of food and fellowship. And just in regard to one housekeeping notice, that the ladies' washroom downstairs, it has a sign on it for the men. And so after the baptism, it will be used for the men who are changing. There's two cubicles in there. It makes it much easier for the men to change. And so once the men, before the men change, or before the service, and then immediately after the baptismal service, the men will be using it. But once the sign is removed, the ladies can have that washroom again. And we do trust that that will not be a great inconvenience. Do remember the services throughout the week. Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. we have a Bible study and prayer meeting. And then on Saturday, it is the men's breakfast at 8 a.m. And we do encourage the men of the congregation to come along and to have time of devotion and prayer. Our elder, Mr. Ruzma, is going to lead that devotion. And then on Sunday, we have our Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. And the adult Sunday school will be meeting here as usual. But our brother, Mr. Alan Samuel, will be reading the scriptures to us. And then there'll be a time of prayer instead of the adult Sunday school. I'm away next week preaching in Prince George and Williams Lake. So do remember us in your prayers. And Mr. Alan Samuel will be responsible for the 10:30 service. And then Mr. Sam Chow from the Bible Presbyterian will be responsible for the 6 p.m. service. So do remember these brethren in your prayers and pray that the Lord would bless them as they prepare and bring the Lord's word next week. Wednesday the 20th of March at 7:30 p.m. we have our annual general meeting. So do remember that. We do encourage especially the members of our congregation to come and attend. And we do encourage all, but especially the members, to come. Reports will be given. The financial report will be presented to the congregation. And so we do encourage you to come to that. If you are new to our congregation or your details have changed, please let me know, because we are updating the church directory in light of the AGM. Then on Friday the 29th of March at 4 p.m. we have our Good Friday service, followed by food downstairs. There are invitations available on the tables in the hall, and we're encouraging you to take some invitations to pass them on to friends and family. Invite them in. When we think of Good Friday and Easter, it's a special occasion. We reflect upon the crucifixion and the death of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so at 4 p.m. on Friday, we will have that service for around an hour, and then food and fellowship downstairs. So do take some of these. Do invite others in. We also have a small business card that gives my details and the details of our services, our website. There's QR code for sermon audio, and also the details of our radio programs. So do take some of these and, you know, pass them out. If you're talking to individuals about our radio ministry, about the congregation, well, it's all there in writing in a simple card, and so you can pass that on to them. Our vacation Bible school has been planned for Monday the 12th of August to Friday the 16th of August. The date in the bulletin is wrong. It is not July, it is August, and that will be corrected in the following week. So do remember that. It's the early stages of planning, but we do endeavor to have a vacation Bible school in the evenings during those dates. So do pray for those arrangements. These are all the announcements, and they are subject to the will of God. And we're going to turn in our hymnals again to the hymn number 61. The hymn number 61. And we'll remain seated while our tithes and offerings for the Lord's work are received. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. The hymn 61, we'll remain seated for the first part, please.
Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness to us, your blessings and your mercies. Father, we thank you for these tithes and these offerings. We pray that it will be used for the good of the church and for the furtherance of the gospel. Bless our time together, Lord, as we listen to your word, and also our pastor as he preached. Bless him. Encourage our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to stand to sing. We'll sing verse 2 and verse 3 of 61. Verses 2 and 3, standing, please. Be seated. We're turning tonight in the Word of God to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. The book of Acts contains the account of the early church and the Savior ascending into heaven and what happened after that. And of course, the great foundation of that is the day of Pentecost, and what happened at Pentecost, we'll come to that a little later on in the baptismal service. We'll read from Acts chapter 2, but the book of Acts itself contains many great and marvelous conversions and shows us how men who were in their sins were saved and converted and had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Acts chapter 9 contains the salvation of Saul of Tarsus, and known later as the Apostle Paul. And of course, Acts chapter 8, we have the man of Ethiopia, and we have Philip being the man of God who came and who brought the message of the gospel and explained the scriptures to him. And so we're going to read from verse 26. Philip has been preaching the word of God in Samaria. There's been a revival there. There's been blessing. And the Lord has been good. But now the Lord gives him direction to go elsewhere. And in verse 26 we read, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then his spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. The eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. The eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Amen, and may the Lord bless the reading of his precious word tonight. Let us unite together in a moment's prayer and seek the Lord as we come to hear his truth. Let us pray. Our eternal God and our loving Father in heaven, we thank thee tonight for thy word, and we thank thee tonight for the scriptures that reveal to us our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the Lamb of God who came into this world to save sinners. And we thank thee for the message preached by Philip here. And we rejoice that he was led by thee to go and to preach to this man the unsearchable riches of Christ. And tonight, O God, we pray that thou would speak to us, that thou would lead and direct, that thy word would be pressed upon souls, that they would believe, and they would turn from sin unto the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Lord, come and bless us, do us good, and glorify thy name. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Tonight in the Word of God, as we have already intimated, we come to one of the great and well-known conversions found in the book of Acts. Here in the desert, we see a man sitting upon his chariot, and a man who is in search of God. But when we think of salvation, salvation is not centered upon man's search for God, but rather God's search for man, because salvation is about what God has done for sinners. In Romans chapter 8, we read in verse 29, For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And there we have the Lord predestinating and electing and choosing those who would be his people. The hymn writer said that I sought the Lord, and afterward I knew he moved my soul to seek him, seeking me. It was not I that found, O Savior true, no, I was found of thee. And when we come to the Savior in salvation, there is that consciousness about what we have done and what we have said regarding the experience of our conversion. But as we learn more and more about the truth of God, we soon find that we were completely ensnared in the depths of sin and despair, with no hope whatsoever. And our salvation was a complete work of God's grace from start to finish. As a young child, I remember trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, and I was going out to a meeting in our local church, and I remember talking to my father and speaking to him about my need of a Savior. And we knelt down beside the bath in that old house. I'd been brushing my teeth, and as I brushed my teeth, I paused and I said that I wanted to be right with God. I wanted to know that my sins were forgiven. And we knelt down and he led me to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how I remember my conversion. And in a couple of weeks, that was 34 years ago. And I know it doesn't look like that, but 34 years ago, it's a long time looking back, but rejoicing in what God has done. But I was completely unaware of that time, of the Spirit's working within me, drawing me to the Savior, of the work of the Savior, and the work of grace that was being done in my heart. And when we come to Acts chapter 8, we have a man who is already drawn to read the Scriptures. God is working within his heart as he searched for the Lord. He came to Jerusalem to worship. And so there was this idea or some understanding of who God is as he came to that center of Jewish worship to meet with God. The Lord was working within his heart. Then in another location in Acts chapter 8, we find Philip preaching to the Samaritans. And there's a revival there. And God is working and moving and saving souls. And what does the Spirit do? He comes to Philip and he says, leave all this behind. There's a man. And Philip left the revival and left the blessing to go out into the desert to speak to one individual. We see the value here of individual souls. When we think of the day of Pentecost, and we have 3,000 souls that were saved and baptized. But yet each one, while we might think of that number 3,000, each one is precious. Each one needed Christ. Each one had a soul that needed to be saved. Each one had great value. And so the soul of this man from Ethiopia, it had great value. And the Lord sent Philip, and sent Philip to bring the word of God to him. But we are to remember that salvation is entirely the work of God. The Lord brought these two individuals together, preparing the heart of the man of Ethiopia, leading his servant to be there at the right time to bring the word to him. And salvation is a work that is entirely of God. And we rejoice when we hear of salvation. We rejoice when we hear of men and women growing in their faith, because that is the evidence that these individuals have truly trusted in Christ and truly turned from sin and repented and are living a faith, a life of faith for the Savior. And so in these verses tonight, I want us to consider true conversion. True conversion. There are three thoughts regarding conversion that we have here. And firstly, we have preparation of heart by the Spirit. Preparation of heart by the Spirit. One preacher said that genuine saving faith demands the proper preparation. The proper preparation. I want you to turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, the verse number 3. The Savior here is giving the parable of the sower, as it is known. And there the word of God says, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the earth came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Another fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. John Gill, the old English preacher, compared this parable to the preaching of the gospel of Christ. He said the word was preached to some whose hearts were disposed by the Spirit and grace of God to receive it. This is the application of the seed of the word of God falling upon good ground. That good ground are hearts that were disposed by the Spirit and grace of God to receive it. It was a good word to them. And they listened. The Lord did that work within their heart. And there is a need, as this parable teaches us, to spread the gospel of Christ, to take the gospel seed and to spread it to many. Some will fall on good ground. Some will fall on thorny ground. But yet there is a duty to spread that gospel seed. But the Lord does prepare the heart. And when we think of this man of Ethiopia, who was he? Well, we find that he was a man of great position within the government. He served the queen of Ethiopia. He was in charge of all her treasure. And this position indicates that he was an important man, a wise man, an educated man, a man who could be trusted, an honest man. You do not get put in charge of all the treasure of the queen if you can't be trusted to keep your hand out of her coins or out of her jewels and not to take those things for yourself. And so he was a man who had this great respect and this great position. But he was a man who had an eye to spiritual matters. The words imply here in verse 27 that as he came to Jerusalem to worship, he was a proselyte to the Jewish faith. A proselyte is someone who had converted. He perhaps had another faith, a local faith, a pagan faith, and had come into Judaism. He was not born of the Jews, but he converted to their faith. And this is interesting because he was probably born a pagan in a pagan land, serving a pagan government. Yet he had turned from that religion and he was practicing the religion of the Jews. Practicing a religion that spoke about the God of heaven. But yet the Jewish religion was not enough to save him. The Jews had rejected the Savior. The Jews had rejected the one who would be the great deliverer. There may have been a head knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures, and in some cases, within the Jewish sects, the Pharisees in particular, they knew the Word of God. They knew it inside out. They knew all about it, but yet, they did not have that saving knowledge of the Savior. I may have told you before, but I met a man on outreach some years ago. He was a young man. He didn't want to talk much at the door, but he was wearing the jersey of the greatest soccer team in the world. And so I made a little comment about that. And as the door was closing, I said, that's a great jersey you have on. That's a great shirt. It's a great team. And I thought I would throw that in there and see what would happen. I was getting fed up of people not wanting to talk to me. I'm a friendly person, I think, but they didn't want to talk. And so the doors were closing, and I got fed up, and I said, it's a great shirt you're wearing. And the door opened. I thought, I'm getting somewhere. And so we started to talk, and we talked for several minutes about soccer and about the team. And I said, well, my father grew up in that city. His house was literally across the road from that soccer ground whenever that team scored back in the 70s. And tens of thousands of people shouted and cheered. He said the house used to shake. Such was the noise. And we talked about that. Now, some may say, well, I should have went in there with the gospel. But I wasn't getting anywhere. And so we talked about this connection that we had. And my aim in all of that was to come back to the reason why I was there, to bring the gospel to him. And as we talked, I remembered about a player who had played for that particular team in the 70s, maybe the early 80s. I don't remember that far back, but I remember reading about it. And he was referred to as a super sub. So in soccer, you have substitutions. If someone gets injured or tired or you want to change your tactics, you bring on a different player, you replace. And so he came on and he won the game in the last minutes of that particular match, time and time again for his team. And he got that nickname, a super substitute. And so we talked about this man. We couldn't remember his name. And eventually in conversation, we remembered his name. And I said, well, you know, he was referred to as the super sub, a substitute. And I'm here telling you about the great substitute for man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who took our place, the one who died for the sins of his people, the one who went to Calvary's cross. And that opened the door to then talking about the gospel. And you know what? He went into his home. He came back with a Bible. He had been given a Bible and was reading the Bible. Yet he didn't want to talk about the Bible, so I don't know what was going on there. But we talked then about the Bible. And he spoke about the book of Acts and how he enjoyed the book of Acts and the conversions and the great account of the missionary journeys. And there are other books of the Bible he wasn't so keen on. They were harder to understand. But while he had that knowledge of salvation in the sense of what the Scripture had said, he knew what the Scripture taught. He did not experience it. He did not fully understand it. He had not bowed the knee, despite being a nice guy to talk to, despite supporting the greatest team in the world that's got nothing to do with it. He needed Christ, and he needed to understand the gospel. And we had the opportunity to talk about the gospel and to witness regarding the gospel and to drop off DVDs with gospel messages for him to listen to. But while he read the Word and he knew the Word and could comment on books of the Bible, he knew not the Savior. He did not have that saving faith. He had not repented of his sin. And like this man of Ethiopia, he knew something of religion. He was reading the Bible, but he knew nothing of the Savior. He knew nothing of Christ. He knew nothing of how he could have his sins forgiven. And we find he was reading Isaiah 53. This is the passage that is in view. And it says there that Philip said, "Do you understand?" Verse 30, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" Do you understand what this means? And the man said, "No." Is the prophet speaking of himself? Is he speaking of some other man? He didn't understand. And Christ was preached to him. And so we can see here that the Lord brought Philip to this individual. The Lord gave this individual a desire to hear the Word of God. We're reminded in the Scriptures that no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, the Savior said. The apostle said in Acts 16, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And these verses imply to us, and they teach us, that salvation is of God. He is the one who prepares the heart as well. When we think of sin, that is that great barrier that no man can breach, but it is Christ who breaks down that barrier. It is Christ who saves. It is Christ who delivers. And as this man left Jerusalem, something was missing. He did not have true salvation. He was religious, but he did not understand the Scriptures, but God was preparing his heart. Maybe you're religious. Maybe you read the Scriptures. Maybe you don't fully understand what the Word of God teaches. Is the Lord dealing with your heart? Is he giving you that desire to understand more and more of his truth, that he would bring you to himself? He needed a preacher to present the truth of God, and we see the Lord working and bringing Philip. But notice here, secondly, the exposition of the gospel by his preacher. The exposition of the gospel by his preacher. This man was doing something right. He was reading the Scriptures of truth. And we are reminded that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. And the gospel of Christ must be centered on Scripture, because it is the Scripture that sets forth that gospel. And the Word of God reveals to us the glorious gospel of Christ. And as Philip came to the chariot, he talked to this man, he understood what he was reading. And verse 35, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture and preached unto him Jesus." He had that opportunity. He didn't have to talk about anything else. He had the opportunity to simply preach the Savior, to preach the one who was led as a lamb to the slaughter, to the one who died for the sins of his people. And as Philip presented the gospel that he preached began at the same Scripture. He preached Christ. And tonight, if you're in your sin and you've never turned to the Savior, you need Christ. This world needs Christ. Our society, our nation needs Christ. And dear believer, Were you praying that God would give you opportunities, like Philip had this opportunity to go and to witness of Christ? Are you praying, Lord, give me opportunities? The pastor has mentioned these invitations. There's people I know, I could give them an invitation, but I'm not sure what they would say. I'm feared. I want to give these invitations out, but people at work might laugh at me. I'm worried about that. See, the Lord uses His people to promote His cause and to bring His word. Seek the Lord, ask for courage, ask for grace, that you would be ready to give an answer of the faith that is within you. Trust God, because true conversion is of Him. Trust Him because of the great content of the gospel of Christ. And here Philip preached the gospel. He preached the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know exactly what he said, but we know he preached the true gospel. A gospel that was all about the Savior. And without Christ, we have no gospel. Without Christ, we have no life-giving message. Without Christ, we have no salvation. And so, as the people of God, we rejoice in Christ. As we come to the baptismal service later, we come to baptize. Why? Because of Christ. Because He is the Savior of sinners. Because we have a salvation that is real and certain and true. He preached about Christ. He also preached about baptism, because we find that they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And so he had been told the importance of being baptized. The whole content of the gospel, it's contained in Scripture. It's centered on the Savior. But Philip here, he had a great confidence. In verse 34, or verse 35, it says he opened his mouth. He didn't hesitate. He knew what had to be said. He knew what had to be done. And he knew that this individual needed to hear this message. God had brought him for a purpose. This man was in the middle of nowhere. He was in the desert. And Philip appears, the one man that God brought to explain everything. And Philip went to the crux of the matter, the gospel of Christ. He believed the gospel could change this man's life. He had just been in Samaria and had witnessed souls trusting Christ. The gospel could change this man's life. Do you believe in the power of the gospel? Do you believe that the gospel can change lives? As a church and a congregation here, we know, we see the power of the gospel in lives. We see and we hear the testimony of those who were dead in trespasses and sins, but the Lord saved them and delivered them and gave them a new heart. Do you believe in the power of the gospel today? If we don't believe in the power of the gospel, then we have big problems. Philip knew his message. He knew his Savior. These previous conversions in Samaria encouraged him as to the reality of Christ's gospel. He had a confidence. Dear believer, do you have a confidence in the gospel of Christ? A confidence that you're resting safe and secure in the rock of ages. A confidence that all is well with you because of Christ. A confidence to witness for Christ. A confidence to reach out with the gospel of Christ. Dear sinner, oh, that you would have a confidence in Christ that He can deliver you from your sin. We see thirdly here, the proclamation of faith by the convert. The proclamation of faith by the convert. In verse 37, Philip says, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." There's a confession here. A confession. He believed, he spoke his faith, and then he showed his faith. So he spoke his faith, he declared his faith by crying out, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that Christ is who He says He is. I believe that He is the Savior. I believe that He is the Redeemer. I confess Him as my Lord and as my Savior." Words. We may say, well, anyone can say words, and they can. Salvation is a work of the heart. It is the Lord who prepares the heart. It's the Lord who saves. It is the Lord who worked within this man's heart that he could confess faith in Christ. And then there were the deeds. He was baptized. They went into the water, and he was baptized. He obeyed the command of Christ to be baptized, to have that baptism as a badge, as a seal of his faith, to show that he had trusted in the Savior, that he was a believer and desirous to follow on in the ways of Christ. But not only was he baptized, but we see another deed. We find at the end of verse 39, he went on his way rejoicing. Redemption, salvation, it brings joy. It brings joy. Much has been said in pulpits over the years. I've been in the congregation listening. Many men say about Christians, and they have long faces, and they look miserable. But they shouldn't be, because of the gospel of Christ. This man was redeemed and delivered, and he went on his way rejoicing. He had met the Savior. His sins were forgiven. He had peace with God. This was not something to be down about or sorrowful about. This was something to rejoice in. All was well with his soul. There was peace with God. And that is a reason to rejoice, because in our sin there is no peace with God. There is no peace with God because our sin is separated between us and God. We're reminded the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Sin is death. It leads to death. Physical and spiritual and eternal death, but the gift of God, salvation, is life. Eternal life, spiritual life, something to rejoice in. Something to rejoice in. Oh, that you would turn and you would trust in the Savior, that you would have that joy, you would have that deliverance from sin that gives you a joy within your heart. Dear believer, do you have a joy tonight that all is well with your soul, that there is peace within you, not the peace of this world, not peace that has come upon you and been created by you, but a real peace, a lasting peace that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that we would have a joy that we have been truly converted, and we know that Christ has worked within our heart, that he has drawn us to himself, that he has redeemed us and saved us. John Calvin said about this individual, though Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, tells us how just one man was converted to the Christian faith, that man's authority was so great in his country that his faith would spread a sweet fragrance far and wide. We don't know what happened to this man. He went on his way rejoicing. That's all that we know. We assume he went back to Ethiopia. We assumed he lived and continued his Christian life. But we don't know. But we know this, that his faith would spread a fragrance far and wide. He would live for Christ. He would speak of Christ. He would testify of Christ. When we think of the early church, and we've considered this in the adult Sunday school, some of the early church fathers were from Africa, as is Ethiopia. We have some of those great theologians that came from Africa. And this man's conversion, no doubt, would have influenced some, would have influenced his colleagues, would have influenced those he came into contact with. We don't hear of the apostles going down into Ethiopia. We read of this man going on his way to Ethiopia rejoicing. What was the legacy that he left behind? We do not know. We do not know. But if he truly was converted to Christ, which Scripture says that he was, if he truly went on his way rejoicing, if he truly knew the true gospel of Christ, then that would have an impact where he was. Dear believer, the question comes to you and I, does our faith for Christ, our belief in the Savior, our salvation, does it impact not only you, but does it impact others for Christ? Are you being a witness for Him? Are you living out your Christian faith? Wherever you may be, maybe the only Christian in the family or the workplace, are you living for Him? Are you sharing the gospel and doing that work for Christ that perhaps only you can do? Philip was chosen for this particular task, a work for him to do. Are we desirous the Lord would give us work that we could engage in faithfully, obeying Him? He was a man from the edge of the known world, an Ethiopian man. It shows the gospel is for the whole world. Another example of that in the book of Acts. The gospel is for the whole world. The gospel tonight, as we close, is for you, if you're outside of Christ. The gospel of Christ can save you and deliver you. And if you turn from sin and believe in the Savior, oh, what a joy, what a peace. You can go on your way rejoicing, praising Him because He is the real Savior, the true Savior. Oh, that you would turn from sin tonight. You would know what it is to be truly converted. You would know the working of Christ, the working of the Spirit within your heart. And you would know, yes, He's my Lord. He's my Savior. I want to live for Him. I want to praise Him. I want to rejoice in what He has done for me. May the Lord bless His word tonight for His name's sake. Amen. Amen. We're going to turn in our hymnals to hymn 569. 569, Lord grant my yearning heart's desire that I be filled with fervent zeal to save poor sinners from the fire, to snatch them from the verge of hell. 569, we'll stand as we sing, please. Standing for prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy word to our hearts. We pray Thou would bless it to us, and that there would be those who would see this man of Ethiopia reading the word of God, being taught what it meant, turning to the Savior. Lord, we pray that Thou would work in hearts and draw souls to Thyself. May we as Thy people be encouraged to go forward for Thee, glorify Thy name. And Father, we pray that Thou would part us with Thy blessing, bless the service to come, and may the love of God, our Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.